Earlier this week, it was Super Tuesday with primaries in some high-profile states all over the country, including perhaps most notably California, but several other key states. And the results have a lot to do with what we're going to end up seeing on election night in November. We're joined now on the air by Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh, to help break down what happened on Tuesday night and what it might mean for the election day upcoming. Tom, thanks for joining us here today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So Super Tuesday was a couple of days ago. Still some more primaries yet to come, but California was a big one, New Jersey too. Start with California and work your way east. What were we expecting to see on Tuesday, and what did we actually see?
Well, certainly winning a lot of House seats in California is key to Democrats' hopes of getting control of the U.S. House. And there was particularly a lot of focus on seven districts that are currently represented by Republican members of Congress, but voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. So those are sort of the swing districts Democrats are focusing on. And one sort of unusual quirk of the system in California is that everybody runs on one ballot together in June, and then the top two people advance to the general election. So you can have a situation where two Democrats advance to the general election or two Republicans advance to the general election. And one thing we've talked a lot about over the course of the last year is how many Democrats are running for office. And that actually had the potential on Tuesday night to be a big problem for Democrats, because in some of these districts that Hillary Clinton had won, there were so many Democratic candidates splitting the vote so many ways that there was a real risk of Republicans getting both slots and just wrapping up the seat on Tuesday night. So that was the biggest thing that we were sort of watching for. And Democrats did narrowly avoid having that happen in any of the seats. There were two districts, California District 48, represented by Dana Rohrabacher, and California District 10, represented by Jeff Denham, where Democrats came within 1 point of getting shut out of the general election, even though they got about 50% of the vote in those districts, simply because the Democratic vote was split so many ways. But Democrats did narrowly avert having that happen. So that was the sort of biggest story of the night, is that all these places remain on the map. And in six out of those seven California congressional districts where Hillary Clinton had won, but they have a Republican congressman, Democrats combined to get anywhere between 45 and 50% of the vote on Tuesday night. And that gives them a pretty good chance of winning those seats in the fall. Sort of the traditional historic trend has been that Democrats generally do about 5 points better in the general election in California than they do in the primary. And then the other thing that's sort of quirky about California, and we should be very glad North Carolina doesn't do things this way for all the election nights we spent together, but it takes them a month to count their whole vote. So like a third of the vote in California still hasn't been counted. And they say on the Board of Elections website, we'll have the count wrapped up by July 6th. And usually as the count goes along, Democrats do better. So in a lot of these districts where Democrats got maybe 45 or 46% so far, by the time the count's finally done, it's going to be more like 48 or 49% probably. And usually if Democrats get 48 or 49% in a district in California in June, they'll end up getting a majority in November. So long-winded answer summarized very quickly. It looks like there's a very good chance Democrats could pick up six House seats in California.
And there were those two kind of big state-level races as well, right? The gubernatorial race and the Senate race with Dianne Feinstein running for re-election, and Republicans got shut out of one of those, didn't they?
Yep. Republicans got shut out of the general election for the Senate race in California. So Dianne Feinstein has a pretty big lead, and then the other Democrat who made it is a former Speaker of the California Assembly, Kevin DeLeon. And then in the governor's race, Democrats combined to get 62% of the vote. Republicans got 38%. But Republicans did at least get somebody through to the general election there, John Cox. But certainly the strong favorite in the general is going to be the current lieutenant governor, Gavin Newsom, who finished first overall, former Democratic mayor of San Francisco. And that was one where Republicans were very worried they were going to get completely shut out of both the governor's race and the Senate race in California. So Donald Trump actually intervened on John Cox's behalf to make sure that one of the Republicans got enough votes that they would make it through to the general. But it was sort of amusing to see Trump bragging on Twitter yesterday about the great success that Cox had had and how maybe there was going to be a red wave. His endorsed candidate got 26% of the vote, so that was enough to get through to the general election. But usually 26% isn't something that you spend a whole lot of energy bragging about.
Those two races, you had Republicans shut out of one but not the other. What is that going to mean for Republican turnout in the general election? Any thoughts about that?
I think that it probably won't have that much of an impact on Republican turnout at the end of the day. Certainly what we're seeing in these congressional races that are so important is that they are likely to be close. I think that Democrats have a good chance to win a lot of these. I'd even say they're slightly favored in a lot of these, but they're not going to win them 55-45. I mean, we're going to be looking at a lot of 51-49, 52-48 sort of races. And what happens usually in a wave election, which I still think this probably is going to be for Democrats, is you kind of end up winning most of those 51-49, 52-48 sort of races. And that's kind of how things went positively for Republicans in 2016. I think there's a pretty decent chance you'll see that go in the other direction this time around.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. You can find him on Twitter, too, at PPP Polls. So we've been talking about the California primary. What about the rest of the country? What stood out for you there?
Well, New Jersey was the other big state voting on Tuesday night, because there's about five Republican held congressional seats there, too, where I think Democrats are seen as having a pretty good chance for some pickups. So really, you just about could have half the seats that Democrats need to get control of the House come from just California and New Jersey on Tuesday night. So what was really notable in New Jersey was that there were three of those key districts that are currently Republican held that Democrats are trying to win over, where both Democrats and Republicans had a primary election on Tuesday night. And Democrats outvoted Republicans in all three of those districts. And these are districts that have been Republican held forever. So the fact that you have more Democrats than Republicans voting in those primaries speaks, A, to the fact that Democrats are more excited to go out and vote than Republicans. But it also, B, speaks to the fact that I think to some extent in these ancestral Republican districts, a lot of Republicans are choosing not to be Republicans anymore. They're changing their registration. So I actually think in some sense the results in New Jersey were even more encouraging on Tuesday night for Democrats than the results in California were. But certainly when you look at the 12 districts that sort of are on the table for Democrats in California and New Jersey, if I had to predict it today, I'd say that Democrats will maybe pick up 8 of those 12. And that right there gives them a third of the seats that they need to get back the House in November just in California and New Jersey. The one other race nationally that I thought was somewhat instructive on Tuesday night was there was a state Senate special election in Missouri in a district that Donald Trump had won by 4 points in 2016, and the Democratic candidate won by 20 on Tuesday night in that special election to flip that seat to the Democrats. So we've talked so much over the last 2 years about how in these special elections, Democrats are averaging an overperformance of 15 to 20 points from what they did in 2016 in these districts. That was just another data point as we get closer and closer to November that sort of confirms that that trend is continuing.
Turnout's going to matter in November, and voter enthusiasm is going to matter in November. So the other narrative that kept coming out of the Tuesday races was that you had these Democratic primaries with a number of kind of old guard Democrats who have been in office forever, Dianne Feinstein being one of the most notable. She's been senator forever, and she's, I think, 140 years old now or something like that, running against these kind of insurgent younger Democrats who maybe hadn't run for high office before, were just getting into politics, kind of the new further to the left wave. And then a lot of the kind of old guard Democrats ended up winning those primaries. And you had a couple of people coming out of that saying, well, that might depress turnout or lower Democratic enthusiasm going into November. Is there anything to that, or is that just chatter?
I think that's mostly just chatter. And I also think it was sort of an interesting mix of results on that front. In California, in those seven congressional districts that Hillary Clinton won that Democrats are trying to flip, Democrats actually did not nominate a single person who had ever held elected office before in any of those seven districts. So that's kind of interesting. There was a House district in Iowa, which is sort of at the top of the pickup list for Democrats, where they nominated a woman in her 20s, Abby Finkenauer, who I think would be the youngest female elected to Congress ever. So you did, like, on the one hand, have very prominently in the California Senate race an older candidate and Dianne Feinstein get nominated. But there were some other places where Democrats did really sort of go for newer kind of faces. So I think there's a pretty big mix of candidates across the country. But one thing that definitely continues to be the case for Democrats is they're very disproportionately nominating women for a lot of these seats. So I think there's a good chance we're going to end up with more women in Congress at the end of this year than we've ever had before in history.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website, at PPP Polls if you want to find them on Twitter. We're wrapping up this conversation, but before we do, we got to talk Tar Heel baseball because you're also the Tar Heel super fan. And we've got a super regional coming up beginning on Friday at 11 a.m. Carolina, the sixth seed, facing 11 seed Stetson. Winner moves on to Omaha. What do you think about this weekend?
Well, it's going to be, I think, some closely contested games, and it's an interesting dynamic with Stetson. They have the best pitching in the country, but then their hitting is not really particularly highly rated. So it's a situation where you could have a bunch of games that are going to be like 3-2, 2-1 sort of affairs, which will be a big contrast from the regional final Sunday night against Houston when it was 19-11. So I think the key for the Tar Heels, given the fact that Stetson hasn't tended to hit a lot, is don't give them anything. Don't walk people. Don't put people on base that way. Don't make any errors in the field. Make a team that struggled to hit the ball actually hit the ball. And then I think for the Tar Heels on offense, since the scoring opportunities may be a little bit more limited than they were against last weekend's competition, I think that's going to put a big premium on the ability to play small ball when you get a runner on base, steal a base, bunt them over, hit and run, those kinds of things. We're probably not going to be hitting a lot of bombs out of the park like we did last weekend. So I think it should make for some pretty interesting, close, competitive games. I tell people to come on out to the Bosch, but it's all sold out now. And that's,
nice.
I think, a good sign for UNC that even with games at 11 o'clock in the morning and noon, like they are over the course of the weekend against somebody who's not a huge name opponent, still people are planning to come on out. So I think that's a good sign. But definitely, I think my big picture thing to say about Stetson is don't get confused by the name. Just because Stetson's not a big name doesn't mean they aren't really good. Their starting pitcher tomorrow was picked in the first round of the draft on Monday night. So I think it's probably going to be some close competitive games. I think the Tar Heels will come out ahead, but definitely not going to be a walk in the park.
Looking forward to it. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.